You're listening to My White Belt, the best jiu-jitsu podcast in the world. Enjoy.
There will be ups, there will be downs, and through all of them, we will continue to show up. Thanks for showing up today. My name is Jim Trick. I am your host for the My White Belt Show. Are you in an up? Are you in a down? Are you skating? Are you a youngster? Are you a 25-year-old with no aches and pains? Are you a 70-year-old who just got their blue belt? Are you laying like a lump on your couch waiting for yet another invitation to try a trial class at your local jiu-jitsu academy? If you are the latter, get off your couch, get on the mat. If you're 70, congratulations for sticking with it. If you're 25 years old, we are all jealous of you secretly. But at the end of the day, if you are part of the global jiu-jitsu family, we are glad you're here. There will be ups and there will be downs. There will be seasons where you are training all the time, and there will be seasons when life gets in the way. There will be moments where you are a little tweaked and you're being a crybaby and you stay home. There will be other times when your doctor says that you're supposed to stay home and you'll push it and you won't, and you'll be out even longer. But we're in it together. We are in it together. We are the people on the planet that are compelled by jiu-jitsu. Some of you call it Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Some of you now in 2024 know that when we say jiu-jitsu, we pretty much mean, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. We're talking about the same animal. There are still people out there that are doing other fringe things that they're calling it jiu-jitsu, and they're irritated that we've taken over, but that's just the way it is. We're here. We're not going anywhere. So wherever you fall in this spectrum, I am thrilled that you are here. I feel like even as I sit here in my little home studio in the great state of Massachusetts, and I am watching the cold go away, literally, I'm sitting here watching gray skies part, sun come out, seasons beginning to change. I can feel the shift in my energy around training. And that means that the little tweak that I've been complaining about for months now feels a little bit better, knock on wood. And I feel like the shift in schedule that has kept me from training as many days per week as I want to, knock on wood, is shifting. So that as the slump comes, so as the valley comes, so does the hill. I'm heading for the hill. And if you're like me, Aren't we funny animals, us human beings? If you're at all like me, when things are great, you for some reason can't seem to remember when things aren't great. And when things aren't so great, sometimes we get blinded by that as well, and we have a hard time remembering that the downsides, the valleys, if you will, that those are as temporary. Peaks and valleys. Peaks and tweaks. Peaks where you're feeling great and things are going well and your coach is looking at you saying, good job. And valleys where maybe nobody's saying anything, but we all know things ain't going so great. I think I'm heading for a hill. I hope you're heading for a hill. I hope that things, wherever you are in the world, are going the way you want them to go. Last week, we had Parker Jameson on. She is the author of the book, The Rage of Gin. And she had a lot of really, interesting things to say. And I came away from that conversation thinking about brother, you know, that we are brothers and sisters in this martial art. We're brothers and sisters. And in a million ways, Parker and I really, you know, in some ways we really couldn't be more different, but we're also so the same in ways that matter. And jiu-jitsu equalizes us in so many ways and takes us from varied backgrounds and literally just whittles away the things that we do not care about and puts a magnifying glass on the ways in which we are similar. It puts a magnifying glass on the fact that out of all the things that we could potentially be doing, we are focusing our time and energy on jiu-jitsu. And you walked through, you know, listen, you walked through the door more than likely, if you're listening to this, you walked through the door of your academy. Maybe a friend had been bothering you for years to go. Maybe you had no idea and you just literally looked up online. You had heard of jiu-jitsu. You walked into that class and you made it through the trial and you said, I can't explain why, but man, do I just love, this thing. And you became part of the family. I'm going on and on a bit today. I'm waxing poetic a bit just because the seasons are changing. Spring is almost here in Massachusetts. My groin feels better and you're here and I'm here. And look, you know, a couple weeks ago we had a tournament and then we had at night a UFC watch party at our academy. And I can never help but look around the room and say, people, so many people would give anything to have what we have. People would give anything to have what you and I have, even in this moment where I'm sitting in this little room talking to you about jiu-jitsu with the hope that this is, with the hope that every sentence dumps gasoline on the burning passion that you have for this thing that we're doing, and with the hope that you are showing up at your academy, that you are ready for business when you show up. I'm hoping that this show, that this exchange of ideas that we have is shaping you into a person who shows up on the mat ready for business. You are clean. Your nails are trimmed. Your attitude is adjusted. You are showing up in a way that makes you the best possible training partner, martial artist, tribe member that you can possibly be at your academy. Part of the way that we accomplish our shaping, part of the way that we become who we are hoping to become on and off the mat, comes from some of the mysterious questions that exist inside the My White Belt Hotline. We're going to go to the My White Belt Hotline today in just a moment. We're going to see what's in there. We are going to unearth the mysteries of jiu-jitsu that lay in wait in the cave that is the My White Belt Hotline. If you're wondering how your question can get featured on the My White Belt show, it's easy. Go to mywhitebelt.com. This is easiest to do on your phone or on a tablet. Go to mywhitebelt.com, click podcasts, and then there's a little widget, if you will. There's a little widget that you can click and you can record your question, and it might be featured on an episode of the My White Belt show. While you're there, you could pick up a t-shirt. You could pick up a t-shirt that just says jiu-jitsu on it. You could pick up a t-shirt that says, I'm much nicer after jujitsu. You could also get a t-shirt that says, ask me about my omoplata. And when you're walking through the checkout at Target, buying your 80-pound bag of potatoes, a new rake, and a pile of black V-neck t-shirts, and somebody says, what's an omoplata? You can tell them about jujitsu, and you can invite them to a class. Do you see how all of these roads, all roads, lead back to jujitsu? So, I don't know. That was a weird little web that I just spun, and I am now going to turn on the light, light the torch, walk into the cave that is the My White Belt Hotline.
Yo, what's up, Jim? My name's Jesse. I'm a two-stripe white belt. I've been training for about 4 or 5 months since November. And basically, I had a question about competition. When I first started jiu-jitsu, about 6 weeks in, I went straight into competition. I went straight into the fire. I didn't think nothing of it. I definitely got smashed, but it was a learning experience. And now I have another competition coming up, and now I'm more nervous for this competition than I was in the first one. And, well, I just want to know if this is normal, because I feel like I'm putting more pressure on myself.
Have you heard about Grapple Guard Body Wash? If you can't spot the smelly person at your academy, there's a chance that you might be the smelly person at your academy. But even if you're not the smelly person at your academy, you've got to do your work to prevent skin diseases. And Grapple Guard Body Wash is especially formulated for people who like to roll on the ground, either in their gym jams or in funny, sweaty spandex outfits. So, want to be a great training partner? Keep yourself clean. Want to be a generous training partner? Buy a bottle of Grapple Guard body wash for your friend. Be a secret admirer to the stinky person at your academy and buy them some Grapple Guard. Go to grappleguardsoap.com. This is the body wash that I use. I will never promote anything that I don't use and believe in. Grapple Guard is our new sponsor. They are the official body wash of My White Belt. It's a small company. A guy named Jeff sent me a bunch of Grapple Guard to see if I liked it. I love it. It's great. Use the discount code TRICK10 at grappleguardsoap.com. Save money and support My White Belt and keep your gym protected from people catching the creeping crud. Come on, filthy white belts. We can do better. We got to clean up. It's got tea tree oil. It's got all kinds of stuff that does good stuff. People will roll with you. And after they tap, they will whisper, wow, you smell nice. And then you'll be able to say, it's because of Grapple Guard. Yo, Jesse. Anytime I talk to somebody named Jesse, I go back to the movie Purple Rain and Morris Day and the Time, and I immediately think, now Jesse, now Jerome, Jungle Love, O-E-O-E-O. That is not what any of you tuned in for. There's literally is not one of you listening to this podcast that signed up for me doing lines from Purple Rain. Like, for example, now Jesse, now Jerome, Jungle Love, O-E-O-E-O. I say, I'm real dangerous. Anyhow, I'm done. I promise I'm done. In my head, I am the youngest of 5 by 10 years, and I want to keep doing it to the point where it's annoying, but I would love for you to continue to listen, and therefore, I will stop. I will not only stop singing Jungle Love by Morris Day and the Time, but I will do the weirdest pivot that has ever happened in any podcast. I am now going to go from Morris Day and the time to Stoic philosopher Seneca. Now, that's what you signed up for, ladies and gentlemen. When you're hanging out at the white at the My White Belt show, you never know what's going to happen. But today, this is what has happened. We're going from Morris Day and the Time, a la Prince, a la one of the great rock movies. I don't even know if that's true. It's fine. The guitar solo in Purple Rain is pretty dope. Again, this isn't why we're here. So let's go to the words of Seneca. And this is in service of you, Jesse. And for anybody else who, as they're heading into their second competition, is feeling like they're actually more nervous for this one than they were the last one. Hear the words of Seneca. It is likely that some troubles will befall us, but it's not a present fact. How often has the unexpected even happened? How often has the expected never come to pass? And even though it is ordained to be, what does it avail to run out to meet your suffering? You'll suffer soon enough when it arrives. So look forward meanwhile to better things. Let's break this down. Is it likely that some troubles will befall us, right? Do I have to convince any of you that bad things are potentially going to happen? Like, that's life. Like I said at the beginning, ups and downs. It's likely that some troubles are going to come. But they're not here right now. They're not here right now. And how often have we spent hours, days, months, years, afraid of the thing that might happen, and it never happens? So let's just pause there. Most of the things that I've been afraid of over the course of my life, most of the things that have caused me anxiety over the course of my life are things that have never even happened. And so the next point to this passage from Seneca is, listen, bad things are going to happen, but do we want to run out? Do we want to run out to greet our suffering? No. This is one of the things that drives me a little bit crazy. And now I'm just going to preach a sermon for a second. I am not without compassion for people that are suffering in the world. I am not without compassion. I know that all over the world, right in my own little town and on the far side of the sea, there are people all over the world that are suffering. And I care. And when I have the opportunity to offer some help and some support, I will. And obviously, there are times when it strikes a particular chord, either because it's very close to home or because whatever the suffering is that you heard about going on the far side of the sea strikes a particular chord with you. But here's what I won't do. I'm not going to let the fact that there is suffering in the world cast a shadow over my life so that I live my days just sad and low and depressed because there's struggling in the world. I have compassion. I want to be the kind of person, and I am the kind of person who offers help and support when I'm able and when it feels like authentic. But these people that are like, they just look for every opportunity to be doom and gloom and to spread that like X, Y, and Z is happening in the world. And how could you possibly spend one moment of your life happy when there's all this suffering? Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to spend my days running out to greet my suffering. I am going to do my best to enjoy the joy. I want to enjoy the joy. Why? Because according to Seneca, I will soon suffer enough when it arrives. When suffering comes, I will suffer, but I'm not going to suffer unjustly. Instead, I'm going to look while the suffering is getting ready, while the inevitable problems of life are getting ready to come my way, I'm going to focus and look forward to better things. Okay, so this is me going on and on about an ancient Stoic passage, and you called to say, why do I feel more afraid about my second tournament than I did my first? Well, here are a few plausible reasons. One, maybe you knew that for your first tournament, nothing was expected of you. And maybe you just said, hey, what do I have to lose? I'm brand new. I haven't been doing this very long. I'm just going to go out there. And when you're in that situation, everybody would agree that you're just brave for getting out there and putting it on the line. Maybe after your tournament, maybe you became a little bit of a showboat. Maybe you have seen yourself becoming a little bit of a know-it-all amongst the other white belts at your school. And now that you're signed up for the second tournament, maybe you feel like you've made some boasts that you have to live up to now. It could be that, you know, Jesse, it could be that. And I, you know, all I'm saying is that that's one possibility. The other piece of it is maybe you feel like some of the mulligan that, you know, your first tournament would have been, you know, some of the grace that you could give yourself just because it was your first tournament, maybe you feel like you can't give yourself that grace right now. I don't know what the source of this greater fear is for you, but I do know a number of things. One, you do not have a crystal ball, and you don't know who your opponents are going to be and what the role is going to look like. You don't know how the matches are going to end. You have no control over any of that. And so you can either use the time between now and your match to be afraid of losing, or to visualize yourself winning. You can either spend this time rushing out to meet imaginary suffering, or you can look forward meanwhile to better things. Okay, so what is the whole package of better things consist of? Well, one, consistent training. Between now and your tournament, will you be training consistently? Will that training be honest? Will you work with your coach on the things that you need work on? Not the things that you need to work on to beat some imaginary opponent that you don't even know who they're going to be or what their game is going to be like, but will you have time to train honestly on the things in your game that are deficient? You know, the other day we were working like a triangle from side control. It was like a mounted triangle. God, I was so clumsy with it. And one of my coaches, Frizzy, said, land many triangles, Jim? And I like thought to myself, nope, I really don't. And it shows. So I got to train honestly, right? So I have to work on the things that need work. So if you are visualizing success, focusing on, listen, we're writing a story. We're making up a story about what the future is going to look like. So Jesse, let's make up a better story. So the discipline is around visualizing yourself, slapping, bumping, getting grips, getting into positions, reversing positions, getting a mental attitude that where the story that you're writing is one of you coming out the way that you want, the showing up the way you want to show up and having things go your way, training honestly between now and your match, and then getting into your match so well trained, so committed to the preparation that you've needed to commit to, that you're able to just go, this is just another role. This is just another role. I've done everything I can do. I have meditated and visualized myself winning. I have taken care of my body off the mat. I've been limiting alcohol and sugar and garbage food. I've been getting plenty of rest. I've been hydrating. I've been using electrolytes. I've been stretching. I've been icing. I've been just doing all the things that I need to do, whatever tweaks. I've been training consistently. I've been training honestly. And then all you can do is go in and do your work. You have to do your work and surrender the outcome. So I'm not surprised that you are a bit more apprehensive this time. I think that makes sense, but I also believe that you are not powerless in that fear. You are not powerless in that anxiety. And friends, for anybody listening to this, obviously this line of reasoning around fear is not just applicable to a jiu-jitsu tournament. This is applicable to any area of life where we feel like we are compelled to an activity or a behavior or an interaction that makes us nervous. Maybe you haven't asked her to marry you yet because you're afraid of what she might say. Maybe you have not gone in and asked for the promotion yet because you have apprehension around it. The number of things that unwarranted anxiety keeps us from, that list is endless. But I believe, and I've used this quote before on the podcast. It's from Joseph Campbell, where he says, "The treasure you seek is in the cave you fear most. The treasure you seek is in the cave you fear most." And so I want us to be people who enter that cave. And, I don't think that there's any greater gateway into facing our fears than getting on a jiu-jitsu mat over and over and over again for years and years and years and training with all different kinds of people and putting ourselves in positions where we feel uncomfortable. Sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, sometimes in a million other ways. But this is the opportunity, Jesse, for you to do this work. Don't, I think it was Rumi who said the cure for the pain is the pain. So this, Jesse, is in this anxiety, this fear. This is your opportunity to stare this anxiety right in the face and to tell it, you can be here, but I'm going to train around you and I'm going to show up, and maybe you'll be there on the day of the match, but I know that the fact that I'm here and I've trained, that I've done everything that I can do and I'm not attached. I guess this is a lot, but what I'm saying is be attached to your preparation and your mental attitude more than you are that fear. I hope that's helpful to you. I never want to miss the opportunity to congratulate you on being open about the struggle. It is the big man that can say, "Hey, yeah, I got some fear around this." Because here's the thing, man, everybody's afraid. Everybody's afraid of something. But it takes a mature man or woman, or boy or girl, to say, "I'm afraid of this thing. Hey, I want you to know I'm going to do this thing anyhow. but man, it's causing me some fear. And then we get to sit and we get to unpack that fear and sort of speculate about where that might come from. But at the end of the day, to say, if you're going to tap, it's going to be to a sub, but you're not going to tap to your fear and you're not going to tap to your anxiety. So yeah, well, Jesse, that's a great question. Please let us know how this tournament goes. I'll just also add that all the black belts that I've talked to all say white belt tournaments and even blue belt tournaments are really more about getting some experience competing and overcoming your nerves, and that's sort of like the chief end. Win or lose, yeah, I mean, obviously you go in there wanting to win, but honestly, white belt tournaments are mostly about learning to overcome your fear and figuring out what works under pressure and what does not work under pressure. You know, we had this at our last tournament. There are some things that people do great in class, even when we're pressure testing. And then when you're actually in the throes of battle with everybody watching, and you know, your coaches are watching and you're competing against some person that you've never met before, finding out where do your fundamentals go out the window. Listen, it would be great for you to go in and to, you know, sweep a guy and get a sub and get a trophy and be real happy with yourself. But it's a lifelong opportunity for you to go in 2024, early days in your jiu-jitsu career, and say, ah, this was the day that I learned that I really needed to work on this part of my game. And then to go home and to work on it and to become great in that area. That is so much more valuable. That is so much more valuable to you right now than an easy win and some trophy. And I'm sure you're great. I'm sure you're great at jiu-jitsu. You know, you wouldn't be calling into a podcast with a question if you weren't committed to it. So just trust your training. I'm not going to continue to repeat myself, though I think many of you know I am capable of that, but that is an option available. But I think the best option available to us right now is to say, I appreciate the question. Listen, I hope that this little mini episode was helpful to you. Send your questions over. Sign up for my White Belt Wednesday at mywhitebelt.com. That is coming back. I say it every week. It hasn't come back yet, but it is coming back. And then I guess the only remaining thing to say to you is, until next week, I am Jim Trick. This is my white belt. Will you please train hard and train smart?